Going to turn in our Bibles this evening to the book of Genesis and to the chapter 13. Do appreciate your presence here this evening. We've been looking at the life of Abraham, and of course we've seen that there were delays in his life. Terah, his father's name, meant delay, and we find him delaying him, taking him down into Haran, stopping him for 5 years, and we saw something of how Abraham dealt with the delays in life. But of course, also in his life, there were difficulties. We saw last night even that the Canaanites and Perizzites were in the land, and how Abraham dealt with those difficulties. He had the altar, and of course he had the altar not only down in the valley, or in the mountaintop, but also in the valley. And he had the altar. As we rightly said, while he lived in a tent, he looked for a city, and he lingered at the altar. And of course, we didn't go into it last night, but in the latter part of that chapter, we find when he left the altar, it wasn't long until he was down into the land of Egypt. But tonight I want to consider how he dealt with division. He had to deal with delays, he had to deal with difficulties. And now as we come into the chapter 13, we discover he had to deal with division. And tomorrow night we want to consider how he dealt with dread or fear in his life. And also during the week how he even dealt with death in his life as well. But we're coming to Genesis chapter 13, and we're reading from the verse 5. Genesis 13, the verse 5. And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents, and the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together. For their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdsmen of Abram's cattle and the herdsmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanites and the Perizzites dwelled them in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdsmen and thy herdsmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right, or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. And Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, Lift up now thine eyes, and look from the place where thou art northward, and southward, and eastward, and westward, for all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it, and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. Then Abram removed his tent, and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. Amen. We know that God will bless the reading of this portion of his word to our hearts. Let's just bow together in a word of prayer and just ask for the Lord to be with us and give us understanding even of his word this evening. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee this evening for the word of God. We thank thee that thou hast called us not to walk by sight, but to walk by faith. And we ask, Lord, that even as we come to consider thy servant in the word of God, that thou wouldst increase our faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We ask, Lord, that thou wouldst teach us from thy word, so that whatever the difficulties and problems that we face in life, that we will be able to face them even in a right manner, knowing victory over the devil, the world, and the flesh. And so, Lord, we ask that even now as we come to thy word, close us in with thyself. Lord, give us words from thee. Give us, Lord, understanding. And we pray that thou wouldst be our help. For in all things we confess that, Lord, we need thee. And without thee we can do nothing. So hear us and wait with us and bless our waiting hearts. For we pray, Lord, in thy name and for thy glory. Amen. I want to draw your attention to the portion that we read together, but we read there in the verse 7 of the chapter, and there was a strife between the herdsmen of Abram's cattle and the herdsmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanites and the Perizzites dwelled then in the land. There is a notion today that the more you have, the happier and more content you will be. However, as we come into this chapter, we find this false notion being exploded. Abram coming out of the land of Egypt, we're told in verse 2, he was very rich in cattle, in silver and in gold, as well as bringing with him silver and gold and cattle. He brought with him an Egyptian, a handmaiden by the name of Hagar, later taking her to be his wife. Ishmael was born. From Ishmael came the Arab races and all the problems of the Middle East. He literally turned their home into a battlefield. Even his cattle brought no satisfaction. Their numbers multiplying. There wasn't enough pasture for his and Lot's herdsmen. And fearing another famine such as they had experienced just a few months earlier, the servants began to divide, some aligning themselves to Abram, others aligned themselves to Lot, each desiring the best pasture and the deepest and the most productive wells for their masters. Tension quickly began to grow. Arguments leading to antagonism, and antagonism leading to anger. Abram, fearing it would lead to open conflict, he summoned Lot in before him. And as a result, there was a dividing one from the other. The peace of the camp was shattered. And it was shattered not over some vital doctrine, not over some doctrine concerning the person of Christ, but it was divided over a piece of grazing ground. And you know, even the most trivial things in life, if they are not handled right, can become a wage in Satan's hand, bringing hurt rather than bringing harmony. Indeed, Paul, writing unto a church which there was conflict between two women, he said in Philippians chapter 2 and the verse 3, let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind. Or as Dr. Lightfoot put it, do nothing to promote the end of party faction. And you see, the most insignificant things in life, if they are not handled properly, they can become a hindrance rather than a help, bringing conflict into the life rather than bringing calm. You know, way back in the year 1005, some soldiers from the Commonwealth of Medina ran away with a well bucket, which belonged to a neighboring nation. Now, the bucket was only worth about 1 shilling, but the two nations went to war. And as a consequence of that conflict, many, many lives were lost. The Emperor Henry's son was taken, and he languished in prison for over 20 years. And while we may sneer at the idea of a nation going to battle over an old tin bucket, yet how often the Church of Christ has been divided and has been defeated over trivial matters, over even perhaps the choosing of the colour of paint for a wall, or over the matter where someone sits or where someone does not sit. You see, we must not permit trivial things to divide us. Isn't it sad that Abraham and Lot, they could live with the Canaanites? They could live with the parasite by their side, but they couldn't live one with the other. And sadly, sometimes God's people, they can live with the ungodly. They can live with the wicked in the place of work or in their neighborhood, but they can't live with the saints of God. And while doctrine is important, yet we must not divide over trivial things. We must not divide over material things. We must guard against letting such things bringing division in and bringing defeat to the church. And so I want to simply tonight draw your attention to Abram as he deals now with conflict as it enters into his own home. You notice firstly here what he desired. Fearing this conflict would enter his own tent, Abram summoned Lot to Bethel. And rather than pointing the accusing finger, he said in the verse 8, let there be no strife. And suing now for peace. Notice the peril he envisaged. Conflict breaking out, we read in that verse 7. And there was a strife between the herdsmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanites and the Perizzites dwelled then in the land. We're told here that the Canaanites and the Perizzites were in the land. And although they were dwelling beside Abram, they were by no means his friend, viewing him with hostility. They longed for his destruction. And as such, this internal conflict weakening them, it would have given their enemies an opportunity against them. Becoming divided, they would have been able to attack, plundering their goods, scattering even their sheep. And you see, division ultimately might lead to defeat. It enables the enemy to smite and to scatter the sheep. Indeed, the Lord Jesus Christ, emphasizing that, he said in Luke chapter 11 and the verse 17, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. And a house divided against a house falleth. To put it in Ulster vernacular, we would say, united we stand. My divided we fall. Joshua, my dividing the armies of Egypt and sending only part of them to go up against the city of Ai. They were quickly defeated and had to go back. And they were humiliated. You see, division damages the church. It brings derision and defeat. And it allows the sheep to be scattered. The Greek historian Plutarch, on one occasion, gathered his 8 sons around his feet. And as they took their place before him, he took a bundle of arrows and he wrapped a cord around the arrows and he reached them to the first son and he said, break the arrows. The son tried, but he couldn't break them. He handed them to the next son and the next. And no matter how hard they tried, they were unable to break the bunch of arrows. And then Plutarch undone the string and he reached the first son an arrow at the time. And my, with the smallest flitch of the arm, they were able to break the arrow. And breaking them, he said, let the band of union be broke betwixt you, and you will be easily broken in pieces. You see, division leads to defeat. No wonder Abraham said, let there be no strife between us. Let nothing divide you. Because once we become divided, we become an easy prey. The devil, as it were, is able to pick us off. Now that's the way the dog comes when it attacks the flock of sheep. Now, as long as the sheep stay together, the sheep are relatively safe. But once the dog manages to scatter the sheep, then he picks off the sheep one by one. And when we become divided, we become an easy prey for the enemy. And Abram knew what was at stake. He knew that it would bring great danger. Not only the peril he envisaged, but notice the price he expended. Seeing the danger of the strife, he said then in verse 9, is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left.
When we go back into chapter 12, we discover there the lamb was not given to Lot, but rather it had been given to Abram. More than that, he was the elder of the two, and he was the chief of the clan. And as such, he had every right to decide the matter and to tell Lot what to do and where he should go. However, rather than using his authority, he gave Lot the first choice. He said, Lot, go out and choose whatever piece of the land you want. You see, in order to bring this strife to an end, he was willing to forgo his rights. He was willing to give up even the best part of the land. You see, peace within the church is paramount. It must always come before our rights and our requirements. Indeed, the Corinthian believers disputing among themselves, they refused to go to the courts of the church, but rather they went out to the civil courts and causing the name of Christ to sting. Paul writing to them, he said in 1 Corinthians 6 in the verse 7, why do you not rather take wrong? Why do you not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? And he told them that it would be better for them to be defrauded. It would be better for them to lose their property rather than disturb the peace of the church and to cause the name of the Savior to stink. You see, while we can never, ever surrender the rights of Christ, we should and must surrender our rights to give up our claims, even for the camp of the church. You see, in that dispute, you may have right on your side. You might be right to be angry with that brother or right to be angry with that sister. You might have the right to be offended. You may have the right to be annoyed with them. But you should be willing even to give up that right, even for the peace of the church. Someone has rightly said, when you're attacked or hurt, there's only four ways you can react. You can, in the first instance, you can return good for evil, and that's godlike. You can return good for good, and that's manlike. Or you can return evil for evil, that's animal-like. Or you can return evil for good, and that's satanic-like. And I wonder, child of God, when you're attacked or you're offended, how do you respond? Satan-like, animal-like, man-like, or Christ-like. Someone has rightly said, when you get people talking about their rights, you have rebellion. But when you get them talking about their responsibilities, you have revival. And maybe you've been wronged in that situation. Then learn even here from Abram. He was willing to turn the other cheek. He was willing to give up his rights. He was willing to let Lot have the first choice. And in having the first choice, to choose the best part of the land. There was that turning of the cheek. But I think also we notice here the persuasive he employed. My seeking to prevent this conflict spreading, we read there in the verse 8 of the chapter. And Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdsmen and thy herdsmen, for we be brethren. Or, as it is in the Hebrew, we are man brethren. And by this phrase, he was introducing a double argument. Not only that they share the same forefathers and the same family, but that they were man, and as such, they were mortal. And they were dying. And pointing out that time was short and that they were all the same family. He said, Lord, let's not argue. And we often heard the phrase, life is too short to argue. His brevity and the fact that we be brethren ought to persuade us to live in peace. In fact, the Lord Jesus said in Matthew 5:25, agree with thine adversary quickly. While thou art on the way with them, lest he at any time, the adversary, deliver thee up to the judge, And the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. And reminding that time was short, he told them to settle the matter. And settle it quickly. You see, rather than contenders, we are comrades, and being brethren, there ought to be a seeking to settle even those differences. I think Abram here was conscious that the Canaanites were looking on. And he was thinking, my, what will these Canaanites think if they see me and Lot and our herds, man, fighting? What will they think not merely of me, but what will they think of my fear? What will they think of my Savior? You know, it reminds me of two women, and they couldn't get on in the workplace. And she said the office was too warm, and she wanted the window open. The other woman said, that she was cold and she wanted the window closed. And this argument on week after week, month after month, year after year. And finally, another person in the office gets sick and tired of it. He turned to him and said, I've got a solution. I will keep the window shut till you suffocate, and then we'll open the window until you catch pneumonia. And you know, the things that might unite us are far more important than the things that divide us. We are brethren. Life is short. We're not to let the sun go down upon our wrath. In fact, Abram here, not able to sort the matter, he eventually said, Lot, you go your way and I go my way. And sometimes when matters can be settled, rather than disturb the peace of the church, there's better a parting of the way. You see, in life there's always conflict, whether in the church or in work. We face difficulties. We face difficult people. We face conflict. How do you face it? Do you face it even here as Abram faced it? But I think not only do we notice here what he desired, he wanted peace, but I want you secondly to notice here what he did. Allowing Lot to choose first, he chose the best of the land. And yet, rather than feeling sorry for himself or that he had been shortchanged, we find Abram turning to the Lord. Notice here, he considered the land. The Lord drawing near, we read in the verse 14. And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art northward, and southward, and eastward, and westward. Two verses earlier, we find Lot looking towards the plains and towards Sodom. In contrast, the Lord, seeking to encourage Abraham, he told him not, don't look down, but rather look up. And lifting his eyes, he was not only to look eastward and westward, but he was to look in every direction of the compass. He was to gaze upon the whole of the land. Never forget, this was no ordinary land. This was the promised land. This was the land that God had given to him. In other words, he was now to lift up his eyes and to look upon that promised land. And in the times of strife and sorrow, rather than looking down, look up. My friend, consider that heavenly land that the Lord has promised. Indeed, Paul, writing unto the Corinthians, he said in 2 Corinthians 4 and in the verse 18, when we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And going through the difficult times, Paul was saying to them here, set not your eyes upon your sorrows, but lift your eyes and gaze upon that which is unseen. Gaze upon that heavenly city, which is eternal in the heavens. And in times of controversy and conflict, rather than lowering your eyes, lift up your eyes, survey that heavenly land. Gaze upon it. You know, years ago, dishonest shopkeepers used to put a hidden weight on one side of the scales. And as a consequence, the scales, were weighed in their favor. They always got the better side of the bargain. I want to tell you, child of God, tonight, the scales are weighed in our favor. Even our afflictions, if we handle them right, they add to our weight of glory. And I think as Christians, one of the great mistakes that we make, we don't think enough of the heavenly Lamb. We don't lift up our eyes and gaze upon Emmanuel's Lamb. We don't consider its beauties and its splendors. I want to tell you, if only we lift our eyes and we gaze upon that Lamb that Christ has prepared for us, then my giving up our rights, giving up certain things and certain situations will be easy today. My, there's a far greater weight of glory that awaits us. Oh, in your strife and conflicts in life, my friend, stop, lift your eyes, consider that land. He not only considered the land, but I notice also here that he chose the land. The Lord said, verse 17, "Arise, walk through the land in the length of it and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee." Then Abram removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. Beholding the riches of Sodom, Lot chose it. In contrast, Abram, hearing the command of God to rise and to walk through the land, he immediately removed his tent. And being guided by the word of God, he came to Hebron. And of course, Hebron means fellowship. You see, rather than being guided by our senses, we are to be guided by the Scripture. Only then can we enter in and know and enjoy fellowship with the Lord. In fact, the psalmist paying tribute to the Scriptures. He said in Psalm 17, in the verse 4, concerning the works of man, "By the words of thy lip have I kept me from the paths of the destroyer." It was the word of God that stopped him making shipwreck in his life and drew him under the shadow of the Almighty. The Scriptures are the only infallible rule of faith and practice. They guide us safely into the place of fellowship. How easy it is when we're wronged or we're hurt, or we feel someone has cheated us, to be guided by our senses, or to be guided by thoughts of revenge, or to be guided by anger, or to be guided even by our eye. But you know, as seen in Lot's case, when he was guided by these things, he headed for disaster. He lost his family, and he lost the land. And it's so easy when we're in controversy and we're in difficulties to be guided by our senses. But in that time, be guided by the book. Be guided by the Scriptures. And it'll bring you into fellowship with the Lord. He not only chose the land, but look, he claimed the land. We're told there in the verse 17, "Arise, walk through the land in the length of it and the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee." When we go back into the book of Joshua, we discover that by walking the land, he was claiming it. He was claiming the promise, saying, "It is mine." You see, the promises of God are given to us not merely to be contemplated, but to be claimed, as well as pondering them. There needs to be a pleading of them. Remember reading about a circus, and they had a strong man. And, you know, the strong man would come out, and he would flex his muscles, and he would take a lemon, and he would squeeze the lemon. And he would squeeze it and squeeze it. And when he had the last drop of juice squeezed out of it, he would turn to the crowd and he would say, £100 for anyone who can squeeze another drop. They would come up with their horns and they would puff and they would pant and they wouldn't get another drop. Then one day this little scrawny man came up and he took the lemon and he just gave it a squeeze. There was one drop, two drops, three drops, four drops, five drops. And the strong man looked at him amazed and he said, "Where on earth are you from?" He says, "I'm a Scotchman." You know, the Scotch might be able to squeeze the last penny out of you. But I say to you tonight, don't be happy just to look at the promises of God. Squeeze them, as it were. Bring them before God. Has God given you promises in that problem? Has God given you promises concerning your children? Or concerning those difficulties that you face? Then, my friend, don't merely put them in a picture and put them in your wall. Claim them before God. Bring them before the Lord and plead them. Oh, this is the way to deal with difficulties and problems in life. My, hold on to the promises. Keep your eye fixed upon that heavenly land. Be guided by the Word of God. But I think we not only notice what He desired and what He did, but lastly, I want you to notice here what He discovered. Walking by faith. You notice there the possessions He discovered. Look at verse 17. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. In order to prevent strife, Abram had not only given up his position and his rights, but he had given up the very best part of the land. However, you notice here that Abram was not ripped off. The Lord now gave that land back to him. There's not a man on earth who would trade what Abraham got for what Lot got. You see, God is no man's debtor. What we give up for the peace of the church, He gives back to us even with interest. In ordinary mathematics, 1 minus 1 equals nothing. But in the mathematics of heaven, 1 minus 1 equals everything. And I say to you, child of God, don't be afraid at times to give up your rights. Never give up the rights of Christ. Never give up His claims. But don't be afraid to give up your rights. Because the Lord is no man's debtor. The Lord will restore to you far, far, far more. Not only the possession He discovered, but I think we notice the progress He discovered, because we read in verse 11, then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east. And note the words, and they separated themselves the one from the other. In Isaiah chapter 51 in the verse 2, we are told that the Lord had called Abram and Abraham alone. And while Satan had meant this strife for evil, yet now in driving Lot away, we find that he was fulfilling the original purpose of God. You see, when trials are handled in a spiritual manner, they don't hurt but help. They fulfill the purpose of God. And you know, if only you handle that situation right, God will take that evil. God will take that malicious thing against you. And God will turn it for your good. For your spiritual good. For your eternal good. What a God we serve this evening. Why should we be afraid to surrender at times our rights? Because God, my friend, is able to take even the poison of Satan and turn it for our good. I think it was also nigh the place he discovered in verse 18. We read at the end of that verse, which is Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. He came to Hebron. And as we have said, Hebron means fellowship. Indeed, we find the Lord speaking to him there in verse 14. You see, where there is strife, there is silence. But you know, where there is that unity, then there is the utterance of God. He speaks. And if we are to hear the voice of God, to have fellowship with the Lord, then we need a right relationship, with our brethren. Only when we have a right relationship with them, can we then have a right relationship with heaven. In fact, the Lord said, if you come to the altar, you're something against a brother. He said, there's no fun stopping. There's no fun praying. Go away. Put the matter right. And so if we're to know the voice of God, there needs to be even that unity. Here is how he dealt with strife. We all face strife. We all face conflict in life. All that he might learn even from Abram. And that he might be able to handle the situation as he handled.
In contrast, what a mess Lot made of his life. He chose wrong. In choosing wrong, he committed incest with his daughters. And from that relationship, there came two boys. One of them was called Moab. And of course, from him came the Moabite nation. But you know, it's not all dark. Because from Moab, there came a woman by the name of Ruth. And out of the line of Ruth, there came David. And out of the line of David, there came the Lord Jesus Christ. And as in the case of Lot, the Lord can take our darker days. And by adding grace, you know, he can bring something wonderful out of it. We all make wrong choices. We all make, at times, foolish decisions. But, oh believer, it doesn't need to end there. If only we seek the face of God, he's able to turn it around. And he's able to bring something good out of it. Praise God, he's a God of mercy. Oh, that we might know his wisdom and his guidance, and that we might be able to handle not only the delays and the difficulties, but the divisions that often come in life. May God help us even so to do, and to do it in a way that brings glory to his name. Amen.